Hello and welcome to Finding Your Collaborative Edge, the podcast for leaders, teams and professionals who want to unlock the full potential of collaboration in their organisations and lives. Hosted by Annie Townend and Lucy Kidd, together with our guests, we explore what it means to truly collaborate through their insights and experiences of finding their own collaborative edge where more is possible together than alone. In this episode, we're delighted to be in conversation with Di Spindley, Head of Delivery at Currys, and Amy Glynn of Hydrogen Group. A very warm welcome to you, Di, and to you, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'd love to begin our conversation by starting to get to know you at a personal level, at an individual level. One of the threads that runs through all of our work is human connection and connecting as people, as human beings. So we'd love to begin by understanding a little bit more about who you each are and what brings you into our conversation today. Di, we'd love to start with you.
Lovely. Well, firstly, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here. And I know, Lucy, we've been talking about this for a long time, so it's great to have this time together. And I'm so happy that Amy was able to come as well. So I'm really excited for this conversation because as part of what I do in delivery, it's about building teams, building relationships with people in order to transform our technology and also to make sure that we're giving the best services to our customers as well as to our colleagues. So I think the power of connection, how we create creativity, how we use solutions is really exciting and interesting to me. And on a personal level, I've been in delivery for over 20 years now, which always makes me think, wow, how did I get here? And I've done a variety of roles. My career has been quite diverse. And so I've started at Disney working in a more creative space and then pivoted to technology about 11 years ago. And so it's really nice to be able to do that change. And then the common thread for me has always been sports. So I love to run. That is something that people know about me, but I think people will look. So I'm the person that goes on holiday for a run and I'll do a half marathon. And so I love to mix both travel and running together. That's a little bit about me.
That's a lovely thing to know about you. I've got these lovely images now of you running on your holiday.
In the sun, ideally.
And Amy, how about yourself?
Firstly, thank you so much for having me here. It's great to be here with both of you and for Di, of course, to invite me. A bit about myself. I was an athlete for a lot of my life, so that's where myself and Di connected quite a lot. And it took me across the globe, so I've lived in quite a lot of different countries. So I suppose I'm a bit of a travelling soul. And the common thread here is people. I'm fascinated by people. My degree was in psychology and that fascination hasn't dropped. And I suppose as part of my work as well, diversity and inclusion is a huge passion of mine. And that seems to be quite a common thread of getting me out of bed in the morning, whatever job that I do. So hoping that I can bring some of that knowledge and passion to this conversation.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will, can sort of hear the energy already coming through from both of you. So thank you so much. We're delighted that we're here in the room having this conversation together. And we're going to dive in and explore all things collaboration, what it means to you, your experiences, your insights, challenges and opportunities. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to start by asking you, through all of that, through everything you bring to who you are and the work you do, what do you notice about what true collaboration really means? Di, we'll come to you first.
Yeah, so for me, I think collaboration is, and when I've seen it at its best, is in a room, face to face.
Yeah.
People are sharing ideas and they're being really open about challenges as well. And you can openly challenge without any risk of like having conflict. And so you can openly challenge, have good conversation. And for me, it's where like the magic sauce happens. Mm-hmm. So you can get a group of people together that are trying to solve a problem from different areas of either the business or technology or for wherever they're from. And when you have that conversation that can say, we've got a problem, you're whiteboarding, and you can feel like the creative energy and the juices are flowing. Mm-hmm. That for me is true collaboration. It's where you can be open and honest, you can share ideas, no idea is silly and everyone's got something of value to bring. You can really like map it out and you can almost see the journey from it, and out of that comes something really special. And for me, that's when collaboration's really coming together. So working together, sharing ideas, yeah, not being scared to challenge in a good and honest way, and then coming up with a magical solution. But seeing the way that people connect together, for me, is where the magic is. And I love that, where you can feel the energy.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That thread of connection, of feeling safe, feeling courageous to be able to share something of yourself and your own ideas, but then also to be able to create something together.
To add on to what Di is, I share quite a lot of the same views as her. From a sporting background, I think I was taught from an early age to understand everybody's strengths and understand that there is a team responsibility to get to an end goal. So envisioning that point and understanding, well, who's the best at what? But then also when I think about it in work terms, what makes me stand out to people to collaborate with? So making sure that I'm somebody that somebody wants to collaborate with. So whether that's I go out and I really study my market knowledge, or I make sure that I'm a learning sponge around leadership and things like that. Just making sure, what am I bringing to the table? Because A, I want to collaborate with other people who are, again, better than me at other things, but I also want to bring the best of myself to that, because that can then help other people as well. So everything that you echoed, essentially, but just adding into that, where are we going? What are we doing? And how can I be the best version of myself for other people to use and learn from as well?
That's such a brilliant angle to take on collaboration, isn't it? How to make ourselves people who people want to collaborate with and connect with. And I really think that's a way of thinking about how we work together.
Yeah.
And not only working together in the room, as you spoke about, Di, but also in the hybrid world that we live in. How do we do it there? Because you said your best experience is being in the room with people where the magic happens. Yeah. How do we do that in this world that we live in, where people are not always in the room together, but more than ever, we need that human-to-human connection?
Yeah, so like in Currys, we work in a hybrid environment anyway, so we're used to it. You can be in the room virtually, you can be in the room together. Sometimes we have a mix of people both in the room and online. And I think it's making sure you're clear on those boundaries to say, like, if you want to add to the conversation, please raise your hand, or whatever those principles are, like, be in the room. I think when you're online, it's easy to be distracted or to be replying to your team's chat. So I think that being present in the conversation is really important, and people really respecting that. That for me is really key. And I think we found some really good ways of working in Currys where you can be online and people are still contributing. And it's definitely possible. We're doing it, right? And we're doing projects across the world remotely, which before COVID was never really a thing that you thought that you could do. So it has changed the way of working. I think it's opened up, which is really exciting to say you can be in different parts of the world collaborating together without being in physically in the room together. And I think that's where the excitement for me comes.
We have the same sort of setup at Hydrogen, where it's very flexible and they allow you to have your own time. And I think what's helped us in particular is sort of the accountability section of it. So when we have our meetings, we understand everybody's time is very valuable. So coming to the meetings and having real purpose and understanding what the meeting is before you're coming, what are the things that we're going to be speaking about, and how you can essentially wrap it up quite quickly with the top priorities. And then it's about going away and the accountability. So each week we'll say what we want to do for that week. And then on the Friday call, we'll understand if we've been able to hit those targets and do what we wanted to do. So I suppose we lead a lot with purpose when it comes to collaboration by, I understand that my team's time is valuable. I don't want to waste that time. So when I am working from home, that it's really purpose-led and it's impactful, so that when I am in the meeting, I can bring kind of my best self and we can all kind of collaborate very, very well. I think where it gets tricky is when you don't have that and you lose touch with people, you don't know what people are doing in the day, you don't know where the project is, things like that. So I think as long as you're all clued up, and we have quite a close-knit team, so that does help. We all want everybody to succeed, and I think that helps as well with the collaboration of, I need to get this stuff done because it affects somebody else's job, so I'm going to get it done so that they can then have an easier time with their side. So yeah, echo again what you said, but adding that accountability in as well.
It's such a brilliant practical way of creating psychological safety. Mm-hmm. So we always start with psychological safety, and our collaboration equation starts with psychological safety to invite people to bring their curiosity, their care and their courage to open up those conversations. But what I love about what you've both said, there's some very practical, clear requests and expectations around how we can set that up to really help create that safety.
I think that ability to communicate really clearly as well is important, isn't it? Yeah. Like when you're hybrid, it's even more important that, to your point, Amy, you understand why you're there, what you can bring, what your strength is to the meeting or like to the workshop or whatever that session is, and know that your contribution is valuable. And putting up your hand, I think, is a nice way in a virtual world for people to be able to contribute, where maybe in a face-to-face, they might feel a bit more nervous to do so. Mm-hmm. So maybe that allows people that bit more safety to contribute, whereas if they're face-to-face, maybe it's a bit more overwhelming for them.
Yeah, we also have workshops. We actually had one yesterday on curiosity, which is actually quite a well-timed one. But we have people from all across different practices. So people who I would never work with in my day-to-day. And we come together on a more of an umbrella topic about, I think, something like curiosity. And we get into breakup teams. It's an hour session. It's very free rein to say, look, there's no perfect way to do this. Come together in teams, share your ideas, and let's see what we come up with. So that, again, breeds sort of collaboration and curiosity and kind of pushing us to be the best versions when we're speaking to clients. And kind of elevating the way that we do things. So that's a really good way. And that's in person. Mm-hmm. So we have anchor days that we have to come in for. And I really enjoy those days. And the training will always be in person, which, again, I prefer sometimes because you can just have really great conversations with people who you wouldn't necessarily work with. And sometimes you can get a bit of a brainwave from another department going, oh, my God, we don't do that. Let's try and embed that into the way that we do things.
I love that you call them anchor days.
Yeah.
That is so good, isn't it? Anchoring days that really help us ground and be present to and with each other.
Yeah.
And something you mentioned earlier, Amy, about setting the purpose for the week and that we do in our work is that, as Lucy, you mentioned that checking in, but you also do something at the end of the week, that checking out, which is really great to hear.
Yeah. So we have one on Monday, one on Wednesday and one on Friday.
Okay. You have a midweek.
You have a midweek one. Too. And the midweek one is just trying to track what you're doing for the week so far. And then again, encouragement. So can I help you in any areas, you know, and to understand what your other teams are doing. So yeah, it's something that we're working on. Again, nothing's ever perfect. But as a team, we really recognise that communication is key, especially with the remote and hybrid working. So it's important that we all know where everybody is. They're always in the morning. So it's kind of the first thing that you do in the day so that you can plan your day out according to afterwards. It works for us. We're not a huge team, but it does work for us. But there's always improvements, right? There's always things that we could do better. So it's just about evolving that to have the maximum efficiency.
Well, a key word that you mentioned there is these meetings are set up to help each other.
Yeah.
And collaboration, we've discovered, is very much about helping each other. How can we help each other and connect with each other in that way? Mm-hmm. I am curious about, from your session yesterday, what did you learn about curiosity?
So curiosity in our world, I work in sales essentially. So we're speaking to a lot of clients like Di and trying to uncover what their problems are in terms of talent, workforce solutions. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's understanding the bigger picture. I think particularly when you get into sales, you can get quite narrow-minded in just asking the thing that you're selling. And trying to understand that if that's a no, then there's 1,000 other doors that you can try and get in, and understanding the bigger picture of things. So curiosity, the biggest thing our leadership said was you have to ask curious questions, because then you're showing obviously that you care about the wider picture. You're showing a breadth of knowledge. You understand the situation. You can map it out better. But also it's more of a long-term partnership. You can understand the things that maybe we'd be able to assist with that we can't help with maybe with the talent just yet. So yeah, asking really curious questions, getting to in-depth, and understanding how to, I suppose, lead a question. So often if you get told no, the conversation shuts down and you think, oh my God, they've said no, let's just shut up, and you go a bit flustered. But kind of using that and trying to dig a bit deeper and really going for the human side of it. What are the pain points in your world, in your day-to-day job, that I can help you alleviate with? And the amount of times people will actually open up and go, I'm spending so much time on this when I really actually want to be doing X, Y, and Z. And just that snippet of information gives me much more to go after than they're not hiring at the moment. It was really more about building up great questions, asking great questions, and understanding how to facilitate a conversation. So yeah, it was a good session. I learned quite a lot.
And it sounds like a real encouragement there as well to get to the real conversation, to surface the real conversations, and to welcome that and to give space to that.
100%.
And so often that's where we get to understand more about each other.
Exactly.
Yeah, that openness, creating that opportunity is great.
Yeah.
And it's sparking a curiosity in me about the two of you and how you work together and your connection and your collaboration. So what are you noticing there in terms of how you work together, how you help each other, which I think from our conversations you probably do.
Yeah.
We've got quite a good working relationship.
Yeah.
I suppose, again, because we connect on a human level.
Yeah.
When we met, we pretty much instantly clicked because we have a lot of similar backgrounds. We're both from sporting backgrounds. We both had a love of Real Housewives of Beverly
Hills. I knew you were going to be the guilty secrets out, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
So we connected instantly on that. And then also the passion for diversity. Yeah. I think anybody who I've ever met that has a passion for that, I've never wavered from. Mm. I've always known that that's true to the person that they are. And I think it speaks a lot of volume when somebody cares about other people, regardless of whether it will impact or help them. So we connected on that primarily. And then we've stayed in contact. And again, we just obviously WhatsApp, we meet up, we have good conversations. And I think we just get on from a human point of things. And we want to help each other. I want to see her succeed. I hope that's reciprocal. I think it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course.
Yeah, no. So I think exactly as you said, like we bonded over our love of like human connection. Mm-hmm. We're Housewives of Beverly Hills. But also I think we've got a shared interest in wanting to do better, both in work and making our work environments better. And so when Amy talks about, you know, how can we help each other, it is a not just from a personal level, but like what's going on at work with you?
Yeah.
How can we help each other? How do we build more diverse and inclusive teams? And I think at Currys, like we're doing such good work around trying to recognize how we build an inclusive culture, but then also recognizing where some of the challenges, and we've had really good conversation about that exact thing. So when you're trying to change a technology team that may be predominantly male and it could be of a certain age, we've got really long tenure at Currys. When we're bringing in more diverse talent, how do we integrate those worlds and make sure that it's a collaborative space? You can be safe, you can have those conversations. And so we've had really good talks about that. And I think that's always a really nice way to like support each other and be like, how can we be better and create those environments where people can thrive at work, and we can learn from each other. It's such a nice, and that's one of the things I love about diversity. Like everyone's got such different stories to bring and such different and unique experiences. And I think you can learn so much and create more. And like when you're talking about the questions and the creativity and the innovation, that's where it comes from. And there's so much science and data to back that up. So to create that at work is really important. And we bond over those conversations too, I think.
When you understand somebody's value, like I said earlier, a team sport, you know, you can go onto the phone and you can ask them. And that really, for me, is true collaboration, understanding what somebody can bring to you at an exact point. And I think we did that pretty quickly.
And what you can create together.
Yeah.
That's so much more than what you can bring alone. And that's one of the themes that we really feature on through the work that we do, is that when you find that collaborative edge, so much more is possible than could ever be by yourself.
Yeah.
And finding it through curiosity, care, which you mentioned, and the courage to ask those questions, to go a bit deeper and to really understand not only the diversity of thought and all the differences, but one of the things that we've really encouraged is diversity of feeling as well, that we feel things differently and our experience of the same thing is different. So how can we encourage people to share that and to ask for help and to play to each other's strengths and to be able to say, I feel unsure about this, or I feel really positive about that. And you might be saying, well, I'm not so sure about it. I feel differently. And again, being able to go that bit further with each other. Mm-hmm. It's really exciting. And it's why we combine curiosity with care, with courage. Yeah.
And what have you found like in the work that you're doing with your clients and your teams to help encourage that feeling? Because that's quite vulnerable, right? To talk about how you feel and to share that in a group. So what experience have you had in that?
It does. And it takes creating that safety first. So really working very intentionally to create that safety within a group, within a team, within a meeting, within a workshop, whatever the context might be, ensure that we're giving everyone a voice within that conversation, however that might be. So often we'll start by asking everybody, similar in the way that we did today, is tell us something about you, or we might ask what helps you to feel safe to speak up, to contribute first. So we're building the trust, building the safety, experimenting and exploring with everyone being in the conversation before then asking them perhaps to be a little bit more vulnerable, to bring more courage, more care with each other, to share how they're really feeling.
Yeah.
And I think we pay a lot of attention to the second part of our collaboration equation, the inclusive dialogue. So really encouraging people to think about the impact they're having on people and think about the language that they use, think about the audience that they are engaging with. And that's become really important in our work, is thinking about inclusivity and inclusivity coming first and then diversity. And how we do that, not just through verbal language, but non-verbal language, like looking at each other and noticing, and doing that from the mindset and behaviour of curiosity, care and courage. So always about encouraging, isn't it? That kind of experience of belonging when people feel that they may be very isolated and working on their own. So that's what we're noticing, is two key words keep coming up and coming to the surface in our work, is around feeling isolated and wanting to feel more connection and feeling unsafe sometimes to speak up because people don't know each other. Mm-hmm. So how can we help people to know enough about each other's strengths, and really help each other thrive?
Yeah.
And isn't it fascinating in this world where technology is meant to be bringing more people together and feeling more connected, people are feeling more isolated. Mm-hmm. And I find that really interesting. And like, why is that? And is it because we're spending so much time on our phones or on, you know, Instagram or TikTok or, you know, creating your videos or your gaming? And so actually your connection in the real world is more virtual than it is in person in real life. And I find that really interesting. And I know there's lots of conversation at the moment about, you know, isolation and how that's, you know, really impacting people. And how do we bridge that gap and create that more, that connection? How do we do that in a virtual world that's becoming more virtual by, you know, Gen AI, living in avatars and all sorts, you know, there's so much out there, but how can you use that to break down those feelings of isolation rather than creating them? It seems to have created a bit of a barrier somehow.
Mm. It's really important, isn't it? And it brings conversations like this more under the spotlight around, well, what does it really mean to build human connection in a virtual world? So we've talked about hybrid working, and how we perhaps need to pay more attention to how we build that human connection when we are virtual, but particularly as we're all understanding more and more how we can collaborate with AI. And often it is, we talk about mindset and beliefs being so important in terms of how we do collaborate with people. But I think how we see AI or feel about AI, think about AI, is really important. And perhaps that's something that we're not seeing so much at the moment, is being really intentional about how do we lead for and through AI in partnership or in collaboration with, rather than feel that we're in total catch up or feel afraid of it or feel nervous, apprehensive. So we're encouraging a lot at the moment these conversations around, well, what's the collaboration between the organisation, among teams, but also really thinking about and being intentional about how can you consider AI a partner and an asset and to be in collaboration with, really adding value and co-creating value.
Because there is a lot like happening that, like, as you say, Lucy, it's a great tool to help serve customers, to do, like, to find things quickly. If you want to build a holiday itinerary, the ability to type in what you love and for like this itinerary to pop out that says, right, here's all the places that you could go to and the timings of it. And like, some of it is super convenient and like, it's really opening up the world of how you can get information at your fingertips a lot more quickly than back in the day when you'd have to go to the library and whip out your encyclopedia. So that, you know, in and of itself is massive. And so I think using AI as a tool and understanding how it can help your life and foster collaboration and connection rather than keep you apart is really important. But having the conversation in the first place, I think, is really important.
And we're always encouraging that open conversation. If there's one thing that we do in terms of the way we work and how we hope to bring this to life with people, it's through the conversation, helping surface the conversations that really matter, deepen connection, and thinking and feeling about these issues before they take hold. So with all of the teams and groups we work with, there'll always be some anxiety or fears about something. And at the moment, a lot of it is around AI and emerging technology and what's happening. So just being able to have a very real and meaningful and purposeful conversation about that, to surface it and explore and share feelings, always creates more safety, more trust, more connection human to human, to then be very intentional and collaborative about how are we going to solve these issues that are emerging. How can we be on the edge of them to lead them forward?
Yeah. And I think the exciting thing is, like, some of the jobs that will come as a result of this emerging technology don't exist today. And so actually the curiosity there, and actually, to your point, Amy, learning about what's out there, broadening your skill set, is going to be really important as, like, for progress and to get on in the world and understand what it is. We were joking earlier that I'm like asking my 9-year-old niece to encourage me and educate me on some of the younger musical talent that's coming through, because I'm like stuck back in the 90s. And she's like, who's Madonna and who's Kylie? And I'm like, who's Olivia Rodrigo? And so, but having that curiosity and sharing, you know, what is new, and like, you know, it could come from all the ages, which I think is really exciting, but having that conversation and educating yourself on what's happening, I think is really important.
And it is the courage to ask for help, isn't it? Mm. And be able to say, I don't know, you know, tell me what, who's singing, who's playing, what's going on, and learning from each other, I think is where that edge is, that learning edge.
And what helps as well, just that curiosity, as well as the care and the courage, with building those relationships, connection, understanding across generations. So we talk about five generations in the workplace, being able to really help everybody bring their strengths to the forefront, as Amy said, about being their best with how they bring themselves to work and find that collaborative edge together. There's so much diversity in ideas, in knowledge, in experience, in ways of thinking, ways of feeling, ways of doing things, when we can create that safe space and the courage for people to really be in that fully. So we talk about inviting everyone to make their full contribution. And when people feel safe and valued, then they're able to do that, to bring that in, whatever.
And listen to, and really listen to. And I'm wondering, Amy, about your partnership with AI and how you're using it and what you're learning about it within the Hydrogen Group and in your role in particular.
Yeah, so in my role, I don't use it overly. I think a lot of people are using it to kind of help them with grammar, coming up with ideas, creativity, those sorts of things, when you can plug in loads of text and just try and make it sound as commercial as possible in terms of when we're speaking to clients, when we're pitching, all of those types of things, making things fine-tuned. So I use it more as a, I suppose, sensory type of thing, just to kind of make sure that everything looks a certain way, sounds a certain way, and has a sort of certain tone. But I always edit it. I really, really hate when people put in blocks of text to AI and I can notice it from a mile off. And I just think I use it for direction rather than giving me something concrete. I don't want to just plug things into AI and then use that, because I don't think that shows authenticity. And a large portion, like I said, like my LinkedIn profile that you saw, is coming across as really authentic, has really helped me in my sales roles before. And I think I can spot a mile off a LinkedIn post that is used by AI. So people are using it for, I suppose, like grammar and coming up with those sorts of things. In terms of recruitment, AI is a huge wave. So I think a lot of people, obviously, within the AI environment are noticing things being streamlined, things being used for efficiencies within AI, and it can be really difficult, particularly for diversity, when companies are using AI tools and things like that for screening or for, you know, processes and things like that. So there is a huge conversation to be had, and I've been to a few events where the conversation has started, but it really is up to the bigger powers to make impact on it and make sure that the tools are being used properly, that they are fit for purpose and that they aren't excluding anyone. So particularly within diverse candidates, in my experience, going through CV processes are difficult enough as it is, but then adding in AI where there's maybe gender bias or diversity bias, things like that, it's a really tricky area. And a lot of people think that AI is going to take over recruitment and things like that. But with us in particular at Hydrogen Group, that's why we're trying to add value outside of, you know, transactional recruitment. Because, yes, things can be streamlined, but that personal touch, that human expertise, people want to buy from people. I don't think people necessarily want to buy from a bot or want to buy from somebody in the internet. They have no idea. So trying to tailor and use AI for its best ability, but then also understand how we can navigate that and position ourselves to have more services that breadth in what we do, rather than just saying, well, this improves up, because we could use AI and streamline everything that we do, but we want to just make sure that we're offering a product and a service that is human. Because AI is great, but there are also many drawbacks, and particularly on the diversity side is where my expertise comes in terms of connecting people with jobs, roles, communities, those sorts of things. And I don't think that can be built by AI. So it's just about understanding the strengths and weaknesses of it and using that, and then setting yourself up to make sure that you're not going against the beast. You're using it for purpose and impact outside of that.
It's great to hear that. And that then people, coming back to where you started, Amy, want to collaborate with you because you're offering something which is human alongside AI.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. Di, how do you lead for collaboration?
Oh, So firstly, I feel really privileged to have a team of great people that I work with at Currys, and I couldn't do my job without them. So firstly, I feel really privileged to do that. But over the last year in particular, we've worked really hard on building the team, A, so that they're more diverse, and that we've got a breadth of people from all different backgrounds. Not everyone has to come from retail. Myself, my background included, I think helps. So when we've been building the team and looking at what skills do we need, what capabilities do we need, the diversity for me of thought is really important, as well as gender, background, schooling, sectors that you come from. So I think that for me is really important. And then, as we've talked about, building the relationships, like, I love to talk to everyone in my team. I probably spend a lot of time being curious, and sometimes I'm like, how are you? How's it going? And I think Lucy and you and I were speaking that I had someone that was in my team, is over a year ago now, and I just noticed that her work just wasn't at the usual level that it was at. And I was like, this isn't like her. So we just had a chat, and I was like, listen, I just want to have a chat with you because I sense that you're not quite as you normally are. Like, your energy's a little bit different, and you're not as engaged with work as you normally are. And it turned out that she was going through some stuff personally. And so we were able to talk about that. And instead of, I was about to give her more work, we were like, actually, let's relook at that. And I was able to bring somebody in to support her so she could take some time out to regroup and deal with the things that she was doing, and actually, you know, come back strong to work stronger and just take a couple of weeks out, have some holiday, have some downtime and breathing space. Being a leader for me is around enabling and empowering your team, mm-hmm. and like recognizing how do they come up as their best? How do you create the environment for them to be their best and to perform at their best? And I think you can only do that when you know them, mm-hmm. and you understand what's happening outside of work, because, you know, everyone's got their lives outside of work, and how we show up isn't just, I'm Di, head of technology at Currys. I'm Di that's a wife, and I'm a sister, and I'm an auntie, and I'm all the things. And so I think, you know, and with that comes baggage with life. And so knowing what somebody's going through, so then you can create that empathy, that environment to be yourself and to have the space and know it's okay. You don't always have to be go, go, go. If you need time out, we're supporting you in that, in your role, because that's how you then show up to be the best that you can be. And so I like to think that that's kind of what I try to create from a leadership perspective.
I'm sure you do, just the way in which you talk about how you do it and your commitment to help people to thrive and be at their best, and noticing. So that's something that we talk about a lot, is noticing when people aren't at their best and asking the question and then supporting them and helping them so that they can be at their best and be able to thrive together.
Mm-hmm. It's a team sport, we always say.
It really is a team sport.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you had a title for our conversation, what would it be today?
For me personally, with the things that I've kind of mentioned, it would be something around purposeful collaboration and what makes me collaborative. Why should I be in the team? Yeah. Why would people want to collaborate with me? I think it's always important, the self-reflection and understanding, you know, what do I bring to the table? And then also positioning that, because it's one thing to know what I bring to the table, it's others to let people know what I bring to the table.
Mm. Yeah, and why would people want to collaborate with you, which I'm reflecting on around, that used to be a question that we would ask in our work with leaders. Why would anybody want to follow you?
Right.
But actually here, what's emerging is a question around, why would anybody want to collaborate with me?
Love that.
Which is a great title. So, what would the title be for you, Di?
So two words came to mind, and it sounds a little bit kooky, so I'll preface it first with that.
Unbelievable.
And for me, curiosity and love. Lead with curiosity and love. And I think the curiosity, just because, like, asking the questions, mm-hmm. being open about who you are and sharing that so other people can see what you can bring to the table and why they want to collaborate with you is one thing. So being curious about people. And then I think the love is because I think it's that leading with connection, mm-hmm. kindness, empathy, courage. And I think all of that comes from a place of love. So for me, I think it would be around leading with curiosity and love.
Love it. Thank you.
What we'd love to do in terms of coming to the end of our conversation, mm-hmm. and you've both shared so much about your own experiences and your insights and what collaboration means to you. We'd like to ask you, if you were going to encourage other people, as you already have, to mm-hmm. collaborate, what are some of the top three things that you would like to feature in those encouragements and invitations?
I think from my experience, the job before this, I was at a startup. That world is crazy. And I had to do a lot. And the one thing that I loved from that, not at the time, was I was being thrust upon this world, was failing quite fast. I really, really enjoyed failing. I didn't enjoy it at the time. I enjoyed it a year later. And I always encouraged when I led somebody else was, I want you to fail because you'll learn much more from failing than you will if you just had a success every single time. And so when you're going to collaborate, be okay with it. The idea might fail, that you put your hand up and no one agrees with you. In that sense, be comfortable with the uncomfortable, putting yourself out there. You have to continually grow. And I think with that comes a nature of being uncomfortable. And when you're in collaboration, sometimes you can feel, if you're new or if you're not as experienced, that your idea might not be great. I had somebody who had no sales experience and she had the best ideas ever because they were new ideas. They were creative ideas. She didn't have a constraint on her that sometimes you get into a pattern and a routine. So that again goes into curiosity. Just think outside the box. Think how things can be done differently than what they're being done. Just because it's been done that way doesn't mean it needs to stay that way. And I think a lot of, again, across technology, across recruitment and other sales environments, you constantly need to be different. And I think a lot of people, specifically in the workplace, don't want to be different. They want to blend in and they want to sit there and they want to just be like the best person, when often everybody has their own strengths and superpowers. So bringing that to the table. So I've gone quite a few of them, but yeah, the main one is be uncomfortable and don't be scared to fail, because failure is natural, but failure teaches you much more than success will teach you. So
fail first, attempt in learning.
There you go.
I learned that on a Peloton app. I can't blame it. It's the game, you know, I'm obsessed.
Yeah, okay.
I'm obsessed. For me, actually, very similar to you, Amy. I think get comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Pushing yourself outside your comfort zone is where the growth comes from. I think, you know, you and I have spoken about it just from like a sporting background. Yeah. Like, you know, it's what, where you grow. And I think you realise you're more resilient and stronger. Mm-hmm. When you're putting yourself in that opportunity to kind of grow and to be a little bit fearful. And it's a balance, right, between scared and excited in a good way, right? So not fear that's going to have you like cringing and not wanting to move forward, but it's okay to be uncomfortable. That's where the growth comes from. Yeah. And take the opportunity, take the risk. It's how I've kind of built my career, I think, you know, saying yes to things that maybe I might not have said yes to. So push on those doors and don't be afraid to walk through them, even if it's a different path. Like, trust yourself, go with your gut. And I think, you know, just be brave in that sense and know that it's going to be okay. Whatever happens, you fail, succeed, you're always going to be on the path that you need to be on. And I think trust yourself. And then the other thing I'd say is, again, similarly linked to what you say, we are all unique. Mm-hmm. One of one, limited edition. Bring yourself to work, because what no one else thinks like you, and no one else can bring what you bring. So be confident in that. And just don't be afraid to be yourself.
Yeah, I think to add to that, I really like people who love to learn. So I call myself a learning sponge. So wherever I go, I want to know more and more and more. Mm-hmm. If you can become like yourself and be able to speak to multiple different technology teams.
I speak to everyone, Amy. I'm really nosy, curious.
Communication is understanding what other people do. And when you can connect the dots, you understand the bigger picture and you're much more valuable to them as an individual. So constantly keep on learning. And I think when people become stagnant, they lose interest. People will want to work with you because they go, actually, she knows this and this and she shouldn't know that.
And takes the time to understand.
Yeah.
I think people really like
appreciate that.
Appreciate
that. Yeah,
they do.
Really do.
Yeah.
I really like the analogy in my last company where we spoke about, particularly women in tech, having a spider web approach instead of a ladder.
Yeah.
When it comes to a career ladder, because you want people to pivot. I myself want to know multiple different things because my interest levels vary and what I want to do in life will vary. So every day people feel different things. One day you might wake up and feel you want to do a completely different thing. So it's important you have that versatility and that human approach. Check in with people. Be nice. That's the biggest thing you can be, is be 100%. Nice. Because people remember nice people. Yeah. People remember people that help. People remember the people that check in and actually care. And that's why, again, I'm always drawn back to the diversity piece, because that's purpose-led, that's impactful. So find something you really enjoy, go after it and really chase it.
I'd say as well, it's okay not to know.
Yeah.
Like, I have never, like, I really admire those people that go, I've got a 5-year plan, I know where I'm going. I was like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
I don't have the plan, I don't know where I'm going. But actually, that's led me to say yes to opportunities that if I'd had a plan that I was like quite rigid in, I wouldn't have found my way into technology as an example. Like, I'd never
very
would have
much
been in
spider
tech.
Web. You're
very
clear,
spider web,
very
yeah. Spider and web. I think there's something really powerful in that. It's okay not to know. Mm-hmm. It's okay to pivot. It's okay to like learn. And I think if you're doing that, you're always growing, and opportunities will come to you. and the right ones will, I believe in manifesting as well, put it out there, manifest it.
I encourage people to pivot because it brings totally new perspectives. And like you said at Currys, bringing in diversity. Diversity of thought is incredible, especially in technology. So bringing people from outside industry where they do things very differently, you could actually be a resource and an amazing addition. But somebody who's in that space would think they're never going to hire me because I don't have this experience. It's a lot of assumptions.
I love that though, to hire, like, because people are curious and know, not just because you're the finished article. I'm not looking for
your
it. All I'm looking
skill
for
set.
Your core skill set. How do you interact in the world? And then how are you going to grow? Like, I'm looking for that. I'm not looking for someone that can tick all the boxes necessarily. And I think that human connection and who you are as a person is really important alongside your, you know, your skill set.
It's such a great way to circle the conversation in terms of how we started. Yeah. Sort of like tell us something about who you are, and now an encouragement for people to really get clear on who are they, what do they bring, what really matters to them, and lovely encouragements, powerful encouragements to bring curiosity, care and courage to build those connections, to build those collaborations. Thank you so much for your conversation.
Thank you. I've loved this.
For your curiosity, care and courage. Thank you, Di, and thank you, Amy, for being in conversation with us today. We'll be sharing your LinkedIn details in the show notes for this episode so people can follow, connect and collaborate with you. Thank you to you, the audience, for being alongside us. There's also a link to our website, collaborationequation.com, to discover more about us and how we can help you to find your collaborative edge. We look forward to connecting with you. Please do share and subscribe to this podcast, Finding Your Collaborative Edge, Leading and Living with Curiosity, Care and Courage. A huge thank you to Brown Bear Studios for the recording and production of our show, and to Schmogus Media for the marketing of it. And thank you to you, Annie, for your partnership and collaboration.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, Di and Amy,
thank
for being
so
in conversation.
Thank you both. It's been great. Wonderful. Thank you.